الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, the reality that nobody can ever deny and reject, no matter who he may be, is the reality of death. And this too is the real part of that reality, that death is so uncertain in terms of when it will come, that nobody can give guarantee even for the next second. This is how great this reality is, that no person on earth can ever deny this reality. But unfortunately, this is among those realities which get forgotten in such a way as if a person doesn't even believe it exists. Go so far back of the mind, despite the fact that nobody will ever deny it, but a person then lives his life in a way as if death will never come. So a mu'min, more than anybody else, a mu'min has this full faith in this reality, but a mu'min doesn't stop at that point. He has iman and faith in beyond death, and the reality that there's an akhirat coming, there's a day of qiyamah, and after that there is the abode of jannat for those who are people of iman and amal salihah. And Allah forbid if a person has not left this world with iman, then he's perpetually doomed to jahannam. All this is part of a mu'min's iman. Without this, there's no faith, there's no belief. If this is missing in his iman, then there's no iman. So when this is the reality, that death is so uncertain, any moment we could be gone from this dunya, and then a mu'min doesn't stop at that point. He knows there's life after death, and there's the qabr that he has to be laid in, and he has to answer the questions that are going to be posed to him in the qabr. There's the day of qiyamah. He has to work towards his eternal abode of jannat. So when that is part of the iman of a mu'min, so he will approach this very temporary life differently. He will not take it as it comes. The common statement is, take things as they come. No, he will prepare for it. Because if he just takes it as it comes, Allah forbid where he may get taken away to. He has to be prepared to take the right steps. He has to strengthen himself to run away from those things that are harmful for his journey in life also, for his qabr and his akhirat. So the entire success of dunya and akhirat, it depends on iman and amal salihah. Iman is the foundation, but together with iman, in the Quran Sharif, in numerous places Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has highlighted amal salihah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who have iman, and together with iman they have righteous actions. For them is then, they live their life in this manner. Allah forbid they slipped up somewhere, they make sincere and immediate tawbah. Then with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, they will gain direct entry into Jannat. And Allah forbid a person, despite having iman, but lived his life in a carefree way, was negligent of the commands of Allah Ta'ala, was involving himself in vices and sins, then if he left this world with iman, that iman will certainly one day take him to Jannat. But Allah forbid, he may have to go through the cleansing process of Jahannam. And that is a place where nobody can bear to be there for a fraction of a second, let alone for years of Akhirat. Allah Ta'ala save us from that torment of Jahannam, save us from the azab of Akhirat at any level. So everything depends on Iman, and together with Iman, Amal Salihah. So the Iman and Amal Salihah that are the ticket to Jannat, direct entry to Jannat. And not only that it will take him directly to Jannat, but that's the guarantee for even the good life of dunya. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. The crux of this is the one with Iman and Amal-e Saliha. Amal-e Saliha is a very broad concept. Everything that he has to do that is part of Amal-e Saliha, and refraining from the don'ts, that is also part of Amal-e Saliha. Person feels, I perform my 5 times Salah, I even made tilawat of the Quran Sharif today, I recited one para, and I have made enough zikr, I've done some other good work, so now I can spend half the night in watching some filth and haram, so it doesn't matter. Then he is in a very big deception. He is far away from the reality of Amal-e Saliha in totality. Amal-e Saliha includes doing the do's and refraining from the don'ts. Then he is on Amal-e Saliha. So now Allah Ta'ala guarantees and promises the person who is on Iman and Amal-e Saliha, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. In this very world, what is coming in the Akhirat, that is the promise of Allah Ta'ala for him. But in this very world, Allah Ta'ala says, we will give him a good life. And that good life is not dependent on the material things of dunya. If a person is blessed with some halal ni'mats, that's Allah's ni'mat also. He makes shukr on that. And he can have a good life even if he has not a single material comfort of this dunya. But Allah blesses him something deep down in his heart, which people with all the wealth in the world cannot buy it. So in any case, Iman and Amal-e Saliha, these are the crucial things. This is what everything of dunya and akhirat depends on. Whatever we are aspiring for in dunya, that good life, that peace, that tranquility, that contentment, the good relationship with people around us, our homes being a garden of Jannah of some sort, the reality we can't imagine. But that peace, that happiness, that tranquility, that mahabba between the people of the household. And despite the challenges of dunya, that a person continues his life in a good way, all this is dependent on Iman and Amal-e Saliha. Without this, it can never happen. And the Akhirat is entirely dependent on this as well. So now the big question and issue is that this is how crucial it is that we have Iman and protect that Iman and leave this dunya with this Iman, and together with that is Amal-e Saliha, righteous deeds. So the very big question is the protection of this Iman which Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, and Amal-e Saliha which need to be developed and enhanced all the time. It needs to be improved, increased. And the constant attacks from nafs and shaitan, how to protect oneself from that, because that's the direct attack on Iman and Amal-e Saliha all the time. It's not that a person, mashallah, has accepted Iman, or he has become conscious of deen, he's now performing his salah, so shaitan will go to sleep. There'll be a greater effort on him to derail him, to distance him from Allah Ta'ala. So what is going to protect this Iman and Amal? So now among the many, many important aspects, one very crucial thing, which the Quran Sharif has highlighted for us, which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has highlighted in the Ahadith, is the company and the environment that the person keeps in. Type of company he stays in, and the environment he puts himself in, the kind of environment he gets exposed to. This is going to have a direct impact, positive or negative. If it's a positive company, positive environment, it will positively impact on his Iman, it will positively impact on his Amal. The drive for more Amal will come. If there's no Amal, the drive towards Amal will come. There will be that yearning for Deen. And Allah forbid if he puts himself in a negative environment, a wrong place, wrong company, then even that drive for deen that is already there, that enthusiasm, that zeal that is already there, that too will get eroded. And Allah forbid way it can finish off, let alone just the amal getting lost, even his iman can get lost. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala has highlighted this in the Quran Sharif, in one ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited. وَيَوْمَ يَعَبْدُ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala says this zalim, this person who oppressed himself caused the worst oppression that can ever be caused. Because إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Every oppression is oppression. And every oppression is a very serious matter. أَظُلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It will become a very big problem for him on the day of Qiyamah, whether it is zulm on those near and dear to him, whether it's own family, whether it is somebody working for him, whether it is somebody on the street, whoever it might be. And whether it's a person of iman or a person without iman. But committing zulm is a very serious matter. Any case, that's a different subject. Allah Ta'ala says the worst zulm is shirk. And now this person on the day of Qiyamah, the worst zalim. Ya'addu zalimu ala yadayhi. This is a way of expression, the extent of sorrow and grief that he will experience. Now, it may happen even physically. When a person sometimes in extreme grief, he starts chewing on his fingers, biting his fingers. Why did I do this? How could I have done this? But it's too late now, the damage is done. Allah Ta'ala says, forget his fingers, he'll chew his hand up. Either to express the extent of sorrow that he will feel at that time, and he may even actually do it. Now what happened actually, the just the crux of it and the gist of it, there was a person who was among the very noble people among the Quraysh, but one of the people very distant from deen, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, because of his position in society, etc. So whenever he would come back from a journey, he would invite everybody. Just to get to the crux of it, he invited everybody on one occasion, he invited Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, he said, look, I can't eat your food till you accept this da'wah that I'm presenting to you. And he presented iman to him. This person accepted the iman. He accepted the kalima. But now after this event was over, the da'wah was over, one of his friends now, Ubay bin Khalaf, staunch enemy of Islam, he came and started taunting him. It seems like you are down and out. You don't have any money or something. Maybe we need to do some collection for you. He's just playing on his emotions to make him feel now he is now a big chief of the Quraysh, and he's being spoken in this manner that we need to do something for you. Maybe you don't have any. Why did you accept this? And he taunted him to such a point, just to get to the point, at the end of the whole episode, this person left from there and Nauzubillah went and he reneged and he treated Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a very, very despicable way, went and in a very harsh manner. And he reneged, and he gave up the deen that he had accepted. Allah Ta'ala refers to this. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be in this extreme sorrow and grief. But what avail? How is going to help then? Too late, damage is too far done. He's left dunya in this manner, he died in that manner of kufr. He was, Allah Ta'ala disgraced him in dunya also, in Badr he got killed. And akhirat, everlasting doom and destruction. But this is the message that he's been given, that the wrong company he kept. He had this kind of friend, Ubay bin Khalaf, this terrible enemy of Islam. And because of this friendship, he lost his iman. This kind of friendship deprived him of iman. So now if a person's iman can grow as a result of that company, as a result of that kind of friendship, what about his amal? So one is this very crucial aspect about the company a person keeps that can have a direct, and this has not, is not something that's just there for the, something in history, unfortunately ongoing issue. Person gets into the wrong company, person, how many people got a rude shock that now suddenly that daughter, Nauzubillah, came out and she's saying that she's no more Muslim, and a good family conscious of deen, and now the daughter comes out of the blue, saying she's sitting hours in her room, locked behind the door, nobody knows what's going on. And now finally when they dig behind the scenes, what's going on? Well, she had some Christian friends in school, and they were giving her literature, and she was sitting and reading this literature. She has no proper knowledge about Islam to start off with, and she's reading this literature about Christianity. And na'uzu billah, she reneged from Islam. And then she comes out one day and says that na'uzu billah, she has no more imam. But where it started off from, that company in school. It's just taken for granted, so what? Everybody has to learn, everybody has to get an education. But what's going on? What kind of company? What's happening to some people's iman? What's happening to their deen? So in any case, this is one part of it, the company. And in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-mar'u ala deeni khaleelihi. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. A person will end up following the way of his friend. What kind of life that friend leads, what direction he's going on. If this person is the stronger party, maybe he'll bring him on. But how many of us have that strength? And especially when he's in a group of people that are of the same type, then he's going to get washed away in no time. So the protecting oneself from wrong company, it might sound like I'm getting left out, people are all having great fun out there, but this is not great fun. This is playing with matches, that child playing with matches and finding it so exciting. He's striking, somehow he learned how to strike it, and he's getting so excited, and the next thing he burns himself down. He's burned to death. So it's not exciting. It is dangerous, very dangerous for iman. That company that is taking a person away from deen. Just to touch on this, today is the day of Jumu'ah, the great virtue. In Suratul Kahf is an incident about some young people. Everybody was on a different line. Allah Ta'ala blessed them with iman. They, to protect their iman, they distanced themselves from all the wrong company. And they went and took refuge in a cave. Allah Ta'ala put them to sleep for a long time, hundreds of years. No time to go into the details of it. But they took the step of forsaking everybody who was not on the path of iman and amal. To protect their own iman, they said, we can do without everyone. Allah is enough for us. So this is not a matter of where is the crowd and where everybody is gone to. It is a matter of where our iman and amal is going to be protected. Then the environment that a person puts himself in, that environment has a direct impact on his iman and amal. We all hear about pollution and how the person gets affected by pollution, and Spingo Beach also keeps complaining about the pollution sometimes. But the person, does he see things around? Does he see what he's breathing? You can't see it. He is breathing it. People go to some areas where the pollution is very severe. They come out, now they're coughing. Now they say maybe that was where the whole thing happened. But the person doesn't see what's happening at that time. He can't sense what's going on. But it's happening. It's harming him. The whatever he's breathing, it's now affecting his respiratory system. Everything is happening. Likewise, there's the pollution that affects iman. It pollutes a person's heart. In the Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on his way to Tabuk, and on the way he had to pass by the ruins of Samud, the people who were completely destroyed because of their disobedience to Allah Ta'ala and rejecting the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Again, just to get to the core point of it. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now is coming with this very big army of Sahaba Ikram. And some Sahaba already reached before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was on the route. They had no option, no choice. They had to pass through this. And there were some wells that were active here. Some drew water out of those wells. They already kneaded the flour, the dough, and made their dough, for their roti, for their bread. Somebody came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was still approaching, and he said to him, this is what has happened. These people have already reached. Some of them, they used the water, they filled their containers. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed, whoever has filled any water, throw it away immediately. That flour that has been kneaded into dough already, don't consume it. Feed it to the animals. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Sahaba and said to them, لَا تَدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونُوا بَاكِينَ. Don't enter and approach these places of the zalimeen, those who have oppressed themselves due to the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Don't even come in such a place except in a condition that you are crying. If the heart, if the eyes are not crying, then the heart must cry. The crying of the eye is not a voluntary thing, but the cry of the heart is voluntary. That is in a person's control. That you must be fearful, must be very afraid. Why? أَيُّسِيبَكُمْ مِثْلُ مَا أَصَابَهُمْ. That out of fear that that azab that came upon them, when? Yesterday? Day before yesterday? Last week? Centuries before? The azab that came upon this community and people centuries prior. But that effect of that azab and the effect of the wrong that happened in this place and the azab that then came, that pollution is still lingering in the air. And you are going to enter this place, so be very fearful. Allah forbid that azab comes upon you as well. Why? Because of just passing here like a sightseer, like a tourist, and just seeing now what's going on, and carefree, and not taking any ibrat that Allah's azab came in this place. So to start off with, not to go to such a place. Because the place of azab is not a place of sightseeing. And out of sheer necessity, then the heart must be trembling. But Allah forbid that we don't take any ibrat from it. We make it like another joke, like something does happen, something to just see what went on. Allah forbid it draws the azab on us, or the effects of some effect of the azab on us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he did all the sahaba ikram at that time, and the masoom Nabi of Allah ta'ala, what protection of Allah is with him. But now he had to pass. How did he pass through this place? Summa qanna'a ra'sahu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam covered his mubarak head with his shawl. I don't want to see what's going on. I have to pass here. I got no choice. But even by chance, not even from the corner of the eye, do I want to see what's going on here. Wa asra as-sayr. And he quickened, he, like we might say, put the foot on the accelerator. He quickened the pace of that animal that he was riding on. And he left this place very quickly in haste. Why? This is a place of azab. When the azab came, centuries before. But the effect of that is in the environment still. Now can we imagine places where blatant sin is happening on the spot, in time, in real time, there's blatant sin happening. All kinds of evil, vice, music, intermingling. And Allah forbid worse if it's happening in the name of Islam. And now a person is part of this kind of place, this kind of gathering, this kind of environment. He says, no, I just went to hunt for some bargains. I just went for this and that and the other. I just went to peek and see what's going on. Just take a look. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a time will come when fitna will be so rife. Man istashrafahu tastashrifuhu. The one who will peek at it, it'll grab him. He says, no, I went to just take a look. After he took a look and came, he can't find his way. He can't look at the way to the masjid. The heart is now gone in some other direction. He only can see the path to some other things. The zeal to recite Quran Sharif is all gone. He was making his salah with jama'ah, he's missing his salah with jama'ah. What happened? He said, no, I don't know what happened. What happened is the heart got engulfed in darkness in that environment. That is where the azab comes first. The azab comes directly on the heart. And it turns the heart. It turns the entire direction of the heart. And now the person who was conscious of deen, he was conscious about staying away from sin. He was not misusing his phone in any way. He was not looking at haram. He was not doing so many evils. And now one after the other, he is falling. What happened? Where it started off from? What's the root? The root was he wasn't careful about his company. He deliberately went out of no need to an environment that was not conducive. And when out of severe necessity he has to go to some environment that is not conducive, and he'll have to go sometimes to go and buy some need somewhere. Any place in the bazaar is also part of this. He will go with concern. He'll go with the zikr on his tongue, with the concern and the fikr in his heart, that I must not get affected by the environment. My iman must stay intact. My amal must stay correct. The zulmat and the darkness of this place must not engulf my heart. And then he will return from there. He will disinfect himself. This is the real disinfection. Disinfect his heart from the evils of the environment with sincere istighfar and tawbah. One is not to go to places that are evil. And out of some situation he couldn't avoid passing some place, he'll still make tawbah from that. Though he's not accountable for something that was not deliberate, but he will still make istighfar, cleanse his heart, still turn to Allah Ta'ala in sincere repentance. Why? Because the most important thing to him is his iman and his amal. This goes, there's nothing left in dunya and akhirat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save our iman as well, protect our amal, keep us steadfast on deen, take us on perfect iman, raise us on the day of qiyamah with perfect iman. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.